Well, good morning, Mabel Louise, 11:15.
Hey,
how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Wonderful.
It's a great day. Mm-hmm. Just to get up in the morning is fantastic. I hope you're having a good day right where you are. And you know what? It's cloudy here. So you've got to be the sunshine, okay? Smile. You'll make somebody's day. And the verse that I chose today is one that fits right in, one of my favorites. And this is the way it goes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. I can hardly quote it without singing it. Yes, it is a song. Well, I've been on a series of messages entitled In Search of Peace, and I've covered these topics: why we lose our peace, learning to live in peace, how to protect our peace, and why can't we live at peace with one another, and now today, peace when trouble comes. And I hope that this will be a challenge for you, as it was for me when I prepared it. And I read, let me just cue you in, I read where the safest place in South Florida during a hurricane is the National Hurricane Center that's located in Miami. The $5 million structure boasts 10-inch concrete walls that are designed to withstand the force of 130-mile wind. Wow. And because of the fierce storms that seemingly come every single year, the center is there to provide a safe working environment for those people who monitor the weather, and they give out the issue of, and the warnings that are needed during the hurricane. And when the general public is ordered to leave their areas, those workers who do all of that warning, they stay so that they can warn and issue the conditions of the storms. And you know what? As I was thinking, storms come in and out of our lives without warning, and they seem to linger without any welcome from any one of us. So what does it do? Yes, it tests our faith and it tests our endurance. But God Himself is our center of safety. Let's put Him right in that same position. It is not our strength, but His that shields us from all of those trials and the winds of circumstance and change in our lives. And we can go through the scriptures and read about the lives of Job. Remember how Job lost everything and then he became ill from all kinds of problems. His friends rejected him and criticized him. And then how about Joseph? Remember Joseph went through all kinds of trials, never seemingly to complain, but accepting it as part of his life. And then there were Moses. Remember how the children of Israel rejected him and complained, and oh my goodness. And how about Paul? He was stoned and they left for dead. And all kinds of circumstances. And then there was John. I have a book entitled Fox's Book of Martyrs. Oh my goodness, you need to read that. It's still available. And that book informed us about how John was rejected and put on an island to be alone, the Isle of Patmos. And before they took him there, he was terribly mistreated. And while he was on the island, they put him in hot oil, dipped him in hot oil. Ooh, can you imagine that? So all of these wonderful Bible characters faced adversity. And one of the books in my library also is the book entitled In His Steps. If you're an old timer, you probably have that available also. Charles Sheldon wrote it in 1896, and it was first published by a religious weekly magazine. The magazine's publisher failed to meet copyright regulations. So guess what? Mr. Sheldon lost legal ownership to the book. Scores of publishers then sold millions of copies, and the author was never able to claim any royalties. What a shame, huh? But no complaints from Charles Sheldon. He said his lost book was okay because, he said, I am very thankful that owing to the defective copyright, the book has had a larger reading on account of the great number of publishers. And remember, Joseph experienced all kinds of losses, sold into slavery by his brothers, lost his position in Potiphar's household because of a false accusation. And yet, he didn't blame anyone. Instead, he recognized that God had planned the events of his life for the good of others. And guess what? In the end, he was able to save the whole world from famine. So it reminds me that what appears to be human tragedy is often the seed of divine triumph. Oh, how we need to be reminded of that. And I've been asked by several, why would a loving God allow such a terrible tragedy? And when I see the pictures and of the different tragedies in our world today and the horrible circumstances, I don't know about you, but I cry out and say to myself, how can I be of help? And I pray for them. And I'm sure that you feel the exact same way. Really, most Americans have very tender hearts, and they want to be of help, and they want to be of blessing. And that's why I believe God has blessed our good old USA. And we have to remind ourselves that, after all, we are living in a sin-sick world, cursed by sin. And many of the countries that have been hit with tragedies, some of those countries have refused to allow missionaries to even come and share the good news of the gospel. And of course, none of us have the mind of God. When I've been asked this, I have to say I have no answers, because we are not God, neither do we have his mind. So we are not worthy to question God's motives. I understand that on one of the beaches that a large group of people were worshiping the moon. Imagine that. And of course, you've read about the churches that worship Satan. Oh my goodness. And we have to be reminded, and I'm doing that right now, today, that there is only one true God, and that is Jehovah. And we're warned over and over in the scriptures to worship the one true God. And by saying that, my burden and heart cry is, how many of those dear ones who have lost their lives in the tragedies have heard the fact that they need Jesus in their life, and have heard that Jesus died for them? And were they offered the hope of heaven? Oh, how many times I cry because of the fact that how many of those people and the different tragedies that have occurred even this last year, how many have had a chance to hear the gospel? Maybe they haven't, if the gospel is available everywhere, but they haven't seen it in the lives of believers. And then comes the conviction that the churches have failed to tell the story. I believe that we're just simply too busy in America, dividing and making more and more churches on every corner, and also taking the time to plan program after program. And they have literally failed to challenge our people to be a witness in the world where they live and to give out the whole message of salvation. It's so interesting, isn't it, that we are so busy building larger buildings, each one more beautiful than the other. But how many believers are sharing their faith and have so little concern about sharing the message? And that's what WWIB is all about. Yes, we want everyone to tune us in so that they can hear that they need Jesus in order to go to heaven. And you know, to me, the icing on the cake is to lead someone to Christ. Watch them grow. When I say lead them, I mean show them the scriptures. It's the Lord that does the saving for sure. And watch them grow in the faith and accept the challenge to give their lives for Jesus. Oh my goodness, how wonderful that is. Just recently, I had a phone call long distance from a gentleman who was in my Sunday school class in 1957. Oh my goodness, that's 61 years ago. He accepted Christ and went into the ministry as a pastor. He located my name on the internet and emailed me. He said that he had been in touch with another member of my class at that same time, and he too had gone into the ministry. And they both wanted to thank me for the challenge that I'd given them in my Sunday school class. What a blessing to my heart. And Jesus said to each one of us that know and love Jesus, ye shall be witnesses. Don't have to be behind the pulpit. Don't have to be in a foreign field as a missionary. You can be God's mouthpiece, right? Where you are. Matthew 28:18-20 is after the resurrection and just before Jesus ascended into heaven. Let me read what he said. Jesus came and spoke unto the disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up into a cloud and received him out of their sight. So what do I need to leave with you today is, if you know and love Jesus, Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with someone else and challenge them to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, because that's what the Lord has instructed us to do. And one lesson we can learn to share the gospel if we know and love him is don't be a pew sitter, or someone has called it a holding tank. Remember that in times of crisis, we find help from one another, and natural disasters bring us together. Suddenly, we remember our own mortality and that people are more important than things. We remember, yes, we need one another. And above all, we need Jesus in our lives. So let's pray that the tragedies will be turned into a beautiful blessing. And when we know and have our faith grounded in Jesus, yes, we can have peace by keeping our focus on him and the blessed hope of heaven. It's been so good to be with you. God bless you, and goodbye.